Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
Welcome to TV Concierge. This is The Ringer's Guide to the Streaming Landscape. We are back today to discuss the astonishingly good and just simply astonishing show on HBO, I May Destroy You. I'm Juliette Littman. I am joined by my Ringer colleague and the host of Boom Bust, The Rise and Fall of HQ Trivia, Alyssa Bresnak. Hi, Alyssa.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining me. I saw that you were tweeting about this show and I was like, great, let's talk about it because I also really want to. What is your description of I May Destroy You?
It is, I guess, a sort of millennial journey. It's very much like someone who may be depressed, may need to get their life together, but they're also brilliant. And that's the protagonist. And something really tragic happens in the first couple episodes. And I imagine that I haven't seen the whole show, but I imagine that that's going to be a lot of the rest of the show coming to terms with that tragedy.
Yeah. So we're three episodes in. It's a co-production between HBO and BBC Three. So it's on both in the US and the UK right now. Adele tweeted about it over the weekend saying it was like the best show she'd ever seen, which I found exciting. Just I like when Adele weighs in on anything. And I think in general, people are just blown away by this. And it stars Michaela Cole. She also wrote it and produced it. She previously did Chewing Gum, which was also on Netflix and also on the BBC or Channel 4, I believe, in the UK. And to say she's a rising star is to completely underestimate her and to completely underappreciate what she's done so far. I think, you know, just three episodes into I May Destroy You, which you put really well, is kind of about like a travelogue of aftermath from a really traumatic event. And I am just so curious to see the scripts, because when I was watching, I'm a major like TV plus phone person. Like I will be on my phone a lot while watching television these days. I admit it. But I was
same.
Like,
I'm always two device. I'm a two device girl.
I was like, I actually have watched the three episodes two times each because I was like, I know I'm missing stuff. So I went back. The acting is so superb, but it's also the kind of acting where you can tell that the script was so meticulous that there was very clear direction of how each actor should respond. And I can't think of another show that's communicated so much through nonverbal acting in recent memory.
Sure. And I think it accomplishes a lot through that because you start to realize things about the characters before they realize them themselves. And that's the sort of brilliance of the script in a lot of ways. Also, the shorthand between characters demonstrates their relationship just in such an expert and I would say efficient way. Like you don't need to know the backstory because you can understand like two characters' dynamic by a couple exchange lines. And that's just really impressive.
It really is. The actor who plays Simon, I just find to be like, I was really blown away by his kind of like ambiguous and clearly checked out performance. Like, you know, we're only three episodes in, you and I, so we don't know everything. But so far, it's very clear that he's like a person who has a lot of secrets and we don't know what they are yet. But it was very obvious that he was like someone you should watch from the very beginning. He uses like a look to signify so much that I can't get over it. And then today in The New Yorker, Doreen St. Felix wrote about the show as well. And she, I think, really just honed in on it exceptionally well. I mean, definitely check out Dorian's piece. It kind of encapsulates the thrill of watching this show really, really well. It's a great companion to the show itself. There's an absolute charisma and energy that Michaela Cole has. Doreen says it's a wreck of charisma, which I think is a great way of putting it, because there's so much like franticness happening throughout the show, but it's wielded to an incredible maximum effect. And I feel like a level of like visceral reaction that I haven't felt to a television show in a really long time.
Completely. The frenetic energy is electrifying as a viewer, and you see it in her expressions. I'm thinking specifically of like the moment after she's meeting with her agents after her deadline, and she's just like smiling, but it's like a really crazy, chaotic smile because she doesn't know what to say and she knows she fucked up. And I like, there were so many moments like that. I also think that the energy of the show in terms of like action and being out in clubs and sort of interacting with friend groups is personally electrifying for me right now because I'm so cut off from it. So I think that's like another layer. It's just, oh man, like they're all touching and they're all like dancing together. And that's fun.
There's a lot of clubs and drugs and like a level of just sort of human interaction that feels so foreign given quarantine. But then on the other hand, if you look into Michaela Cole's work and you see like the speeches she's given. In 2018, she gave the keynote speech at the Edinburgh TV Festival, and it was the James McTaggart lecture. And you and I both watched this 53-minute speech on YouTube. It's the most captivating speech I think I've literally ever seen. Like I can't think of anything else even close to this. And it's a really, really compelling and fascinating speech where she talks a lot about the racism she's encountered her whole life. And very specifically, all of, like the Black actors that she has come up with weren't treated fairly within the TV system and whatnot. And in that way, she is, you know, speaking about a lot of the topics that I think have just suffused all cultural conversations in the last few weeks. And so Doreen's piece also gets this as well. It's like a perfect for this moment television show, despite the fact that it hinges on people actually interacting and we're all alone right now. And I mean, the Edinburgh TV Festival speech is like, I'm astonished by it. I was sad when it was over.
Same. Yeah. And I don't even really like speeches that much. I usually cringe at speeches. Like there's all these awkward moments, but Michaela just like made it amazing. And she's got such a magnetic humility to her delivery and to her storytelling that I just can't get over. The other thing that I was thinking of that I just, like, again, another demonstration of her efficient and really expert storytelling is all the media in this show is either like clips of natural disasters from climate change or like really disturbing conspiracy theory YouTube videos.
Yeah.
And like, I just think that was like a perfect way to place you in a time without actually having to like beat someone over the head about it. Like, it's like, yes, we're in this moment of like uncertainty and disaster and like misinformation. And of course, like you're kind of bouncing off of these societal things and trying to make sense of them in your own life. And it was so quick, but it was so effective.
Another piece of the show that's like that as well. There's an implicit understanding of how like the internet is just part of millennial life and people younger, where she, the character Arabella gets stopped on the street very often by fans who read her first book, which was based on like a bunch of tweets. Like that's the idea. And then they take like selfies with her or they like quote her back to her. It's just a pitch perfect understanding of how online life can translate into a regular offline life as well. And there's a real like interest in difference between like digital and analog in the show that doesn't really need to be named, but it exists. And I think that also is like startling in how implicit its message and just like so well done. I can't really think of a lot of comps for this show. Like people have been comparing it to Fleabag, but I don't really think, other than the fact that it's like two women who started on the stage and then moved to TV, is that similar? I mean, what Michaela Cole is doing is so total. I don't even know what to compare it to.
Yeah, it's not about like dating life or I don't know what it's like to be depressed in your 20s. It's about so much more than that.
Yeah.
And it's about like society. And I mean, I haven't seen the rest of the episodes of the series, but like I just have complete and total trust that they're going to handle this tragedy that we were talking about with such subtlety and care. I also want to say that I've never seen a show that's been so explicit about period stuff, and it was really gratifying for me.
In episode 3, there's a like incredibly absurd and uncomfortable perfect exchange between Arabella and a man about her period and the blood that comes out of you during your period. And you're so right. I've never seen anything like that on TV. And the other thing that I thought about was the Starbucks tampon situation from like a week or two ago. And I was like, once again, this show is like perfectly timed. How did she do it?
Yeah, it was pretty explicit in like, just like you could see the blood clot in her hands. And I was just like, is this even allowed? I don't know. To me, it like sort of made me feel weirdly seen. Like I was just like, oh, like this is an element that women have to deal with all the time. But look, weirdly, I've never seen it addressed. And I guess it's because it's gross, but there's way more other gross like male humor that's I've seen in movies and TV. So I think she also brings that like amazing sort of female expertise to the show that you could only get from a woman.
It's true. There's a lot of about like the mechanics of sex in the show, about like just sort of like all the like the small moments. And that's a great point. I haven't really like, I don't even know what else to point to. And it's not for like gross out effect. It's like makes everything more humane.
Yeah. And she's like on drugs in the club and you can see her like going low and you can see like her pad sticking out. And I was just like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is like perfect early 20s mess in my mind.
Absolutely. If you can't tell, we really recommend I May Destroy You. We really recommend checking out Michaela Cole on YouTube speaking at the Edinburgh TV Festival. We also recommend checking out Doreen St. Felix on this piece as well. These are all of our source materials, all of our source texts today. Please check out this TV show and we'll be back with more TV Concierge tomorrow.
I'm so excited to introduce the Bukhari Sellers podcast in partnership with The Ringer. We're tackling the issues of the day through interviews with high-profile guests and conversations with a rotating panel of the country's best and leading thinkers, influencers, and writers. You know, I'm not only an attorney and a former elected official. Sometimes you see me on CNN, and I'm a new author of a New York Times best-selling book, My Vanishing Country. But now, we're introducing the Bukhari Sellers podcast, and we're going to cover everything from the 2020 election to sports and culture to the larger movement for racial equality in the United States. We're going to have some of your favorite quarterbacks, some of your favorite politicians, some of your favorite athletes, writers, singers, actors, actresses. The Bukhari Sellers podcast will debut on Monday, June 29th. Listen free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.